Bible study this morning, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to begin with to three different passages of Scripture. We've been looking at John chapter 14 for the last several weeks. We're going to start there one more time. Look at John chapter 14, Ephesians chapter 1, and Acts chapter 2. And we'll read these three passages of Scripture just as our beginning point for our message today. John chapter 14, then we'll go to Ephesians chapter 1, and then we'll look at Acts chapter 2. John 14, verses 16 through 18, this is Jesus speaking the last night that he is here in the earth, preparing his disciples for his departure, letting them know that there's going to be one who is coming after he is gone. There's one who is coming who is going to take his place. And it says in John 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. I'm leaving, another is coming. He will always be with you. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, go over to Ephesians. Let's look at the passage in Ephesians chapter 1. We've looked at this before, I understand, but we want to finish off our series of messages today on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we're confirming from the word of the Lord that the Holy Spirit comes to live and dwell in every one of us who believes in the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes, verses 13 and 14, he says, in him, the him there being Christ, being Jesus, in Jesus you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge or as a down payment, as a first fruits, if you will, of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. And now back over to the book of Acts, the second chapter. Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that when we believe in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit of promise. And then Peter will tell us in Acts chapter 2 at verse 37. Now this is after Peter's Pentecostal sermon in Acts chapter 2. And he has preached the word of the Lord. He has explained to them this unusual manifestation of the Spirit called speaking in tongues. They have become convicted in their hearts by what they've heard and what has happened. And they say in verse 9, now when they heard this, Peter's message, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, the Holy Spirit is the promise. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Let's pray together. Father, I ask you to help me today to finish this message and to speak simply yet truthfully the word of the Lord to encourage our hearts as those who profess to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Open our eyes, all of us, to the treasure that we possess in the person of the Holy Spirit. And all that he is capable of doing in us and through us for the glory of your Son. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish up. We've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit for several weeks now. And the reason we've been doing this is because many believers who profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ aren't really aware of the treasure that's within them. I heard a story years ago, and full disclosure, I don't know if it's true or not, but it makes a point. And that's what I'm after, is the point. The story was of a man who lived in abject poverty, lived in a rundown shack of a house, owned virtually nothing, had no one, lived in this house till the day he died in abject poverty. When people went into this little shack of a house to clean it up and probably tear it down, they found in this house, hanging on the wall, a picture. And the picture was a very famous picture, and it was a painting that was virtually priceless, hanging on the wall there. And apparently the man had no idea of the value of the picture that was hanging on the wall. Because if he knew the value of the picture, he could have sold the picture and lived a much better lifestyle than the lifestyle that he lived. He didn't know the treasure he possessed. That's the point I want to make. Many of us today don't know the treasure that we possess in the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of us. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we don't know much about the Holy Spirit these days. Many believers don't know much about the Holy Spirit. Partly because for some people, a lot of weird things have been said and done in the name of the Holy Spirit. And people have overreacted with no desire whatsoever for the things of the Spirit of God. Also, there are many believers who are like the believers in Acts chapter 19 who had never heard there was a Holy Spirit. And so we teach on the Holy Spirit on a regular basis here at this church, because we want you to be aware of the treasure that dwells within you as a believer in the Lord Jesus. We have discovered that He is actually the Spirit of Jesus. He is Jesus who lives in our heart when we profess Christ as our Lord and Savior. And thus He is the source of abundant life. He gives us the power to live free from sins, from bad habits, from addictions, a life of purity and integrity that experiences peace, what the Bible calls peace beyond understanding, a joy beyond words. He teaches us the difference between right and wrong. He reveals to us and guides us into the will of God. He makes us more and more like Jesus. He is the source of love, faith, and hope. He is the source of all of these things. What a treasure. What a treasure. By the love that He pours into our hearts, He is the one who heals our wounded hearts and restores our soul to health and wholeness. When by the love that He pours into our heart, we learn how to forgive. You know, one of the greatest lies of the devil we have believed, even as Christian people, one of the greatest lies that we have believed is that forgiving people of offenses against us just lets them off the hook. But did you know that's not at all what forgiveness is about? Forgiveness is not about letting somebody else off the hook. Forgiveness is about our own spiritual wholeness and healing of our own heart and of our own soul. But to experience all of this treasure of the Lord, we must be aware of who the Holy Spirit is. And so many believers aren't. We don't know the treasure that we've got. We know that because we believe in Jesus, one day we're going to go to heaven. Thank God for that. But the passage of Scripture we just read in Ephesians chapter 1 tells us this. Watch this. We believe in Jesus, so we're going to heaven. But in the Holy Spirit, heaven comes to us. And we miss that part. And we miss out on a lot of heaven on earth because we don't know the treasure that lives and dwells within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So we must commune with the Holy Spirit. We must embrace Him. We must release Him in our lives by surrendering to Him in order to experience the life that God has for us. But hear this, church. We've got to go beyond, listen, we've got to go beyond pursuing God in a time of need to a place of pursuing God just out of a heart of love. We must pursue the Lord out of a heart of love continually to glorify Jesus. Not just, and here's what we do. We pursue the Lord occasionally out of need in order to use Him. And we need to pursue Him continually out of love to glorify Him. We need to draw near to the Lord. Now, I've been a pastor for well over 30 years. And I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen a lot of people come to a little church like this and they hear about the Holy Spirit and they'll hear about faith and they'll hear about miracles and they get so excited about the possibilities of what God can do in their life. And in a couple months' time, they've gone on down the road. Let me tell you why. Because they hear all this good news and they hear all these possibilities and they hear what God can do in their life, and here's what they think. I think I'll try that. Nope. Just go on home. And don't even play any game. Don't just try it. It's not going to work. This isn't a game. This is life. And trying it's not going to get us there. Committing to it will. Committing to it will. And let me just give you the truth about life. Life is not always easy. There are a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of difficulty in life. But it's the difficulties of life that prove the quality of faith that we have in our heart and that will eventually get us to the place where we walk in the abundant life that Christ has purchased for us. Where we'll begin to experience it in our own lives. Because in the hard time, we didn't bail, we didn't run, but we stood true to Jesus and we stood firm on our faith. And we believed in spite of what we saw that God is still a good God. And there's nothing God can't do. It's when we get to that place, brother and sister, that place of commitment, that's when we're going to experience the treasure that we possess as believers. Now, my time is quickly running out. We closed last week by saying that in addition to all of the amazing things that the Lord will do in us as believers, that there are also many things that the Lord wants to do through us as believers in order to affect the world and to bring souls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read the scriptures that we read to you last week. And just turn to Acts chapter 1. Flip over one chapter. We'll start there. I beg of you, as we read the scriptures that we're going to read today, I beg of you to think this way. This can happen in my life. What we're reading in the scriptures can happen in any of our lives if we will be surrendered to the Lord. We often think when we read about the ministry gifts that we're going to be looking at here for the next 20 minutes or so, we often think these things apply to other people in the church. These things apply to the hierarchy in the church. Do you understand that we have created a hierarchy in Christianity today that does not exist in the Bible? It simply does not exist. And all of the promises of the things that God says the Holy Spirit can do in anybody, He can do in every single one of us if we're willing to listen and obey to His voice. So as we read these things today, don't think that this applies to somebody else's life. Recognize that these things apply to every single one of us as Christians. For example, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is about to ascend and go back to the Father. He's gathered the disciples on the mountain, and he's speaking to them last words of instruction. And he says to them in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." Now let me tell you what we've done to that verse of Scripture and what we've done in Christianity. This verse of Scripture says when the Holy Spirit comes, we will be witnesses. And we've turned it around and we've changed it so that rather than being witnesses, we do witnessing. We've changed it from a way of life to a formula that we live out to try to help people know Jesus. He didn't say, "Now you're going to know the principles of witnessing." He says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, your very life is going to be a witness. Because first of all, he's going to work in you to change your life. And people are going to look at you and say, "What in the world happened to you? You're not the same person who used to run around with us before. You're a different person. And now you've got the opportunity to be a witness to someone." I went and got my haircut the other day, first time since my head was shaved for surgery back in August. And went to a local barber. And I was wondering about this scar where they did the incision for the surgery, because no hair grows back there yet. And so I'm wondering, what do I do with this? I've got this beautiful head, but then I've got this ugly scar. And it kind of separates this one little piece of hair on the front of my head here. And this barber says, "You can use that scar as an opportunity to tell people what Jesus did in your life." I'm worried about hair growing back. And I've got right here. The mark that makes me a witness for Jesus. Because I can tell people what Jesus did for me. Look back over at John chapter 14. Let's read these verses. Witnessing was never supposed to be a six-step process that we memorize and knock on people's doors to go through to hopefully win them to the Lord. If that works, thank God. But that was never what witnessing was meant to be. Witnessing is always a personal thing. Jesus does something in your life. You go out and tell everybody else what he did for you and what he did in you. That's what a witness is, somebody who has seen something. A witness is somebody who's experienced something. A witness is somebody who just tells others what they've seen and heard. That's what we're supposed to be. John chapter 14, verse 12. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me." And I always make the point when I read that part of that verse of Scripture, to notice that he's talking about simply believers. Every one of us who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's about to say applies to you. This is not about televangelists. This is not about prophets and apostles. This is not about preachers and pastors. This is about Christians, every one of us. "He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." And he explains what that means in John 16, verse 7. He says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away," or "go to the Father. For if I do not go, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. We can do the works of Jesus because the Helper has come to live on the inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you if you're a believer in Jesus. And the same Spirit who worked miracles through Jesus can work miracles through you. Because it's not about you, it's about Him. Our responsibility is simply to believe that God can do anything, even through us. He will give us the words of being to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give us gifts, both natural and supernatural, to bring people to Christ. This is what the book of Acts is all about. The book of Acts, your Bible probably calls it the Acts of the Apostles. Do you know that's not correct? It's not about the Acts of the Apostles. It's about the acts of the Holy Spirit through Christians. Yeah, the apostles. But deacons and believers of every kind. The Holy Spirit worked through them all the same kind of works that He worked through Jesus. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are a list of supernatural gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Gifts that the Holy Spirit can work through any and every believer who will believe and expect the Holy Spirit to work this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 1, then verses 4 through 11. First Corinthians 12, 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, grace gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." The irony of that verse of Scripture just never escapes me. Paul says, "I don't want you to be unaware of these spiritual gifts." And in today's church, most Christians are completely unaware of these spiritual gifts. He says, "I don't want you to be unaware of the way the Holy Spirit can work through your life if you'll let Him, even in supernatural ways." Look at verse 4. "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, varieties of ministries and the same Lord, varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." You should underline that part of that verse there, verse 6. God works all things. These are the workings of God through the lives of believers. Verse 7, "To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." To each one. You hear people say sometimes, "Well, I just don't have any spiritual gifts." The Bible says they're given to all of us. People say, "I don't have any spiritual gifts." Let me try that again. The Bible says they're given to all of us. And yet some of us still say, "I don't have spiritual gifts." Where do you think the truth lies? All of us, God can potentially use any one of us in supernatural ways to be a blessing to others that they may know Christ. He lists a number of gifts in verses 8 through 11. Let's read them. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit." Let me just quickly go over these as we go through them because my time is almost gone already. He says, "For one is given the word of wisdom through the same Spirit." Notice the gift is a word of wisdom. And notice it's not all wisdom. It's not all wisdom. It's a word of wisdom. It's a specific word of wisdom to meet a specific person. A word of wisdom. Wisdom is the how-to of knowledge. For example, last week I shared with you how the Holy Spirit spoke to me about building the houses over here that we call Victory Houses. I went to a motel. I paid a motel bill for some people because they were had a house fire, and they got a family in a one-room motel. They're trying to make it. And as I'm leaving the motel, I sense in my heart, I'm thinking out loud to the Lord, I'm thinking, God, there should be some place in our community where families who have a fire like this can go and live and not have to worry about money and can stay together and not have to farm out their children, but all live together under one roof until they can find another place to live. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I got the knowledge of what needs to be done. I just don't have the wisdom. And I sensed in my heart, and I'm convinced it was the Spirit of the Lord, as God said to me, you build it. I believe that simple phrase was a word of wisdom from the Lord. Now, I didn't know at the time what God had in mind. I didn't know what God had planned. I knew that I was fried from building this church. We built this church for a couple of years. We paid cash for it. Jim and I served as the general contractors. We were done with the building, and I was just done with building. And I wasn't interested in building anything else. And God says, you build it. And this is just a couple of years after we finished building this church. God says, you build it. And little did I know, at that time, Jim had been volunteering with the fire department, with the police department, as a chaplain and a restoration officer. And I had no idea what God was doing behind the scenes in all of this. God says to me, you build it. We talk it over and we find out, Jim talks to the fire department. The fire department has wanted to build a house like these houses for years. They told Jim, we've wanted to do this, we just don't have the place to do it. Jim said, we've got the place, we just don't have the manpower. So the fire department decided, let's get together on this thing and let's build these houses. The police department decided they wanted in on it. And so they partnered with us. Habitat for Humanity in Lynchburg decided they wanted to be a part of it, and they partnered with us. About the same time, a friend of this ministry, guy lives in another city, he's got two or three little small businesses that he runs. He had some money that he wanted to donate to a ministry somewhere. He donated it to us. He gave us a check for $30,000. I'm thinking, what's going on here? All of a sudden, we've got all of these people that want to work with us to build the houses, and money is coming in out of nowhere. We built these houses over here, and again, forgive me for my time. We built the houses over here. These houses are worth about $120,000 a piece. We built those houses over there for no more than about $40,000 cash. All of the rest of the labor, the heating, the cooling, the electrical, the plumbing, everything else was donated to us. It just showed up when we needed it. All because God said, you build it. You build it. The next one is a word of knowledge. Again, the gift is not all knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. It's a specific word at a specific time to meet a specific need. The classic example that comes to me is Jesus with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, where he's talking to her about living water. She's come out to get water, and Jesus is talking about living water. And all of a sudden, Jesus says to the woman, go and get your husband and bring him out. The woman says, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, listen to this. Jesus had never met this woman. But Jesus said, you've said correctly, you don't have a husband. You've actually had several husbands. The man you're living with now is not even your husband. Jesus had never met this woman, and yet he knew all of this information. It's a word of knowledge that the Holy Spirit gave to Jesus for this woman to get her attention so that she would listen to what he had to say. We counseled with a woman years ago. I think I've shared this with you before. Years ago, and she was battling depression and things, and she came to us for some counseling. And she got to telling us the story of her life and the things that she had been involved in. It was just a mess. It was just a mess. She was a married woman. She got to telling us about this other man that she had met. And when she mentioned this other man, I heard in my spirit the word abortion. I think, what is that all about? It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I heard this word, abortion. She went on talking about this other man that she had begun seeing. I said, you had an affair with that man, didn't you? She hung her head and nodded, yeah. I said, you got pregnant, didn't you? She said, yeah. I said, you had an abortion, didn't you? She said, yeah. In a minute, the Holy Spirit brought breakthrough that may have taken months of a secular counselor to get to the issue of what was bothering her and what was tearing her heart apart. We call Jesus the divine healer. Jack Hayford calls the Holy Spirit the divine psychologist. A word of knowledge. I got to move on. A word of wisdom. A word of knowledge. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Do you understand today that you can't have faith unless you hear from the Holy Spirit? Look back at verse 3. We didn't read this part of it, but look at the end of verse 3. It says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The only way you can absolutely know and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is for the Holy Spirit to reveal that to your heart. Only by His word to your heart can faith come that you can believe in who Jesus is. Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You got that from the Spirit of God. Healings. The next one in verse 9. Gifts of healings. These are gifts the Holy Spirit can work through any believer. I've prayed for more people than I could possibly count over the 30, 40 years that I've been in the ministry. But I can tell you, and a lot of times God answers those prayers. A lot of times I don't see the answer to those prayers. It's just the truth. There have been times when I knew that the person that I was about to pray for was going to be healed. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that He has that He will give through you to somebody else who is in need. When our oldest was just a few years old, he battled with croup. Every time the seasons changed, he got a terrible hoarse cough and his throat swelled up and he couldn't hardly breathe and all of these things were going on. And one night as he was, we took him to the doctor and they give him medication and the doctor said, well, maybe he'll outgrow it when he gets 11 years old or whatever. He's only like 3 or 4 years old. I mean, my God, I got to wait for 7 more years before. One night, as the seasons began to change, Sean began to cough. And I sensed in my heart I needed to go lay hands on him and pray. I got up. I went back to his bedroom. I laid my hands on him and I prayed. He coughed 2 more times, rolled over, went to sleep, and never had the croup again. Guys, I'm just telling you what God can do. It has nothing to do with me. You know my life. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the faithfulness of a good God who has not changed, who has always had the capability of doing the extraordinary and can still do it today through anybody who is willing to listen. The same with miracles. The same with prophecy. Prophecy is not exactly what we tend to think. Most of the time when we think about prophecy, and that's in verse 10, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy. Prophecy is not always predictive. It can be. When we think of prophecy, we think of predicting the future. That can certainly be a part of prophecy, but prophecy in a more general sense of what Paul is talking about here, prophecy is an inspirational speaking forth of the truth of the Word of God. And it might be about the future, it might be about right now. I can tell you this, in the many years that I've been in the ministry, there have been many times when I have stepped up here before you and I have known the word that God gave me for this Sunday is for a specific person. They really need to hear this. I knew that God gave me that word for them, for that moment in their life, about what they're going through right then. It's not about predicting the future. It's about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can inspire any one of us, every one of us, at any moment, at any place, to speak a word over somebody's life. It might be in your house. It might be in the fellowship hall downstairs. It might be at Walmart. Did you know God can move at Walmart? God can move anywhere. If we'll just be sensitive to His voice. If we'll listen to what He's trying to say to us. Discernment. Distinguishing of spirits is what it's called in my translation here in verse 10. The distinguishing of spirits. That's really about knowing the motivation, the spiritual motivation in somebody else's life. What spirit is motivating them to do what they're doing. It's a gift that I believe that God does give quite often to pastors to help them know the spirit of the people that come to church and want to be involved. And there have been people that have come to church and they've offered to do certain things, and I've known in my heart the reason that they want to, that they're offering to do this is because they want to be seen. When people come to the church and they volunteer, they say, I like to do something to help in the church. And often they'll say, I like to sing a solo on Sunday morning. And my first thought is to ask them, wouldn't you rather work in the nursery on Sunday morning? And I guarantee you they'll say no to that, because there's no recognition in that, see. The distinguishing of spirits. Why do people do what they do? Tongues and interpretation of tongues. The ability to praise God in another language and to honor the Lord and to worship and pray to Him in that way. And then the interpretation, which is always supposed to follow tongues in the public gathering. Please hear that word, always. In a public gathering, if tongues are spoken, there must be the interpretation according to the Word of God. It's very simple. It's very simple. Please notice verse 11. I have to read this. Can I have 5 more minutes? Would you give me 5 more minutes this morning? Thank you. Notice it says in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. Please hear this, brother and sister. You and I don't get to choose when these gifts manifest. You and I don't get to choose the when, the where, the how of healings or miracles or words or these kinds of things. It is all the Holy Spirit who chooses to do these things. I read just this past week, and I'm going to be careful here because I don't offend anybody. But I read about a person who prayed a prayer, and most of you would know this person if I named the name. And the prayer went something like this: I deploy the hand of God to do such and such. As though that person controls the hand of God. Brother and sister, we don't control the hand of God. The hand of God controls us. We don't control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a commodity that we control. The Holy Spirit is supposed to control us. We need to be sensitive to Him so He can. Let me quickly share another list of gifts, and I'll just leave them to you for you to study for yourself from Romans chapter 12, if you look there with me. These are also gifts of the Spirit, but these are gifts that are not seen as in the same supernatural way as the gifts that we just read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In Romans, what chapter did I say? Romans chapter 12. Yeah. Romans chapter 12 is another list of gifts that are manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And they seem more like natural talent sometimes or natural giftings, but it's still the Spirit of the Lord. Let me read quickly from Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for through the grace given to me, this is the Apostle Paul again. Paul says, through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Now this faith that he's talking about here is not saving faith. It's faith to serve the Lord. Watch the context. For just as we are many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of it. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, in other words, God by His grace gives every one of us various gifts to serve one another. Not the same gifts, but different gifts. He says, since we have these gifts that differ, then we need to each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. If service, in his service. Or if he teaches, in his teaching. Or if he exhorts or encourages, in his encouragement. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Please notice these gifts that he lists here. Service, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy. Now please understand that these gifts are not things that he gives to us and, how do I say this? Doesn't mean we can't all do these things. It just means that some people, let's put it this way in our modern vernacular, some people just have a knack for saying the right thing. I'm not very good at encouraging, okay? I can do it. But I don't have a knack for it. I'm more of a bull in a china closet kind of person, you know. And tact is not something that I've perfected in my life. But there are some people who just know exactly the right thing to say in a given moment and situation. They have that gift, okay? Some people have the gift of mercy. They just know how to show mercy and compassion in a situation beyond maybe what... We can all show mercy. We're supposed to. We're supposed to all be merciful. But some people just have a knack for it and have an ability to do it. These are all gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us as believers in the Lord. And all of these gifts are supposed to be manifest through the church for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Let me give you just a couple of more verses real quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4. I apologize for going over time here. I was determined to get this done today and not have to go into another week. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whatever gift God has given to you, use it to be a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. But know the limits of your gifting. Know the limits of your calling. The Apostle Paul would say in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, I labor according to His power that dwells within me. Now watch this. I'm going to finish with this. Look over at Isaiah chapter 40. This is my last passage, I promise. Some of us don't know the limits of the gift that God's given to us. As a result of that, we're not laboring according to God's power. We're laboring according to our own fleshly power. And what happens when we labor according to our own fleshly power is we get burnt out. We get weary. We get just overcome, overworked, because we're working in our own power and not the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, and I'll close with this. Verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all the earth, does not become weary or tired. God doesn't become weary or tired. If we're working in His power, we won't become weary or tired. If we're getting weary, if we're getting tired, if we're getting burnt out, it's because we've gone beyond what God's called us to do. And we're not working in His power anymore. We're working in our own power. And quite possibly not even working the will of God. There are a lot of people that are so busy playing. Well, I won't say that. We get so caught up in our work, sometimes we think that we are the savior of other people. And we wind up playing God instead of serving God. Verse 29, He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. Look at this, in the verse 31. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. God has spiritual gifts that He wants to give to every one of us. And if we're sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, God can do absolutely anything through any one of us if we will let Him. But we need to know the limits of what God wants to do. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father, the gift who empowers us, who manifests in us to transform us and bless us, who manifests through us to bless others, and in all things to glorify Jesus. He is Christ in you. And if we will embrace Him, He will do awesome things in us and through us, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, this isn't for an elite few. This is for every single one of us that call themselves Christians. Let's pray together. In fact, go ahead and stand to your feet. It takes faith to believe that God can do these things through you. But He'll give you that faith if you'll listen to Him. And He'll show you what He wants you to do for the glory of Christ. And it is the responsibility of every believer to live their lives for the glory of the Son of God. So here's what we need to do after a sermon like this today. Here's what we need to say. We need to say, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to teach me from this message today? Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to do through my life to glorify Jesus? Holy Spirit, which of these gifts belongs to me? What gifts are you desiring to manifest through me and in me? Holy Spirit, how do you want to use me as a son of God to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm just telling you, brother and sister, if we will listen to the Holy Spirit, He will tell us exactly what He wants us to do. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will use us to bring glory to Jesus, because that's what He does. Father, I pray for my church family again today, and I pray that every one of us would pray that prayer to you. What do you want to do through me today to glorify Jesus? Give us a heart that is willing, Father, to be used by you. Give us the desire to serve you, the willingness to say yes to you. Speak to us, Lord, that we might have the faith to do what the Bible says we can do for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for calling me to be your child and for gifting me to glorify your Son. Speak to us, Father. I pray that our lives would never be the same ordinary lives that they have been from this day forward. Holy Spirit, make a difference in our lives. Make us different than we were before. Thank you, God. Thank you for the potential of every life in this room. We bless you for it. And I pray, Father, we will hear great testimonies of what you've spoken to your children, what you've done in and through their lives. Teach us to live and walk a new way. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, I apologize for running along today. Let me just say, if we can pray with you personally about any need in your life, we are always here. We can stay after the service. We're willing to stay if you want us to stay and minister to you personally today. Or you can call us, text us, email us, whatever, to get in touch with us so that we can know the needs of your life and how we can minister to you and how we can help you maybe find the gifts that God has placed in your heart and life, what He wants to do in you, how He wants to use you for His kingdom today. Let us know how we can minister to you personally. Thank you so much for being with us in the service this morning. Let's sing together.